folks out there somewhere in the beautiful world. This is Emily.
And this is Elt.
And I have a stomach ache, but it's completely unrelated to any recipes I may or may not have found on the completely reliable internet.
Just saying, I did not try the tuna and olives because some people know and some people want to be adventurous, and sometimes it's better to be among the people who know and not the people who want to be adventurous.
Yes, but then you end up hiding in a corner behind a pillow fort, which can easily be broken by Nerf bullets, in case anyone's wondering.
Well, first of all, it's not hiding, it's making a safe area for myself away from the tuna and olives, and
sounds like hiding.
Second of all, there's nothing wrong with the pillow fort.
Well, that's something we can both agree on.
Great!
And I think something else we can agree on is the book series we're talking about today.
Which is the Island series by Gordon Corman, who's written like a bazillion books, so you probably have heard of him or seen him, especially if you've ever read middle grade in your life. And this is actually an earlier series of his. It's actually just a sidetrack a second, then we'll get back on. The last book ends off with a reference of September 12th, 2001. And I went back to see when the book was published in 2001. And you're like, I don't know if that's 9/11, but it was obviously came out before that. Because I don't think you would have chosen September 12th as a date then.
Reread that just recently, I thought, oh, that's funny in hindsight how that worked out.
Yeah, so that's how many eons ago this book came out. But the short of it is that you have a group of teenagers, not teenagers, they're
11 preteen, to 9 to 13 or something?
I think it's 11. I think it's 11 to 14.
Oh, maybe 14. You're right. JJ's 14.
So kind of, even though we're calling them middle grade, I think they're middle grade. We could call them middle grade. And then, so they are all, there's six of them, and each one of them are kind of, you know, quote unquote, like a problem child. They each have their own issue that they're dealing with, that their parents all sent them on this, on this boat, charting a new course, it's called, and they're going to go in this program that's going to basically turn them into team players, and it's going to fix them up, basically, to go on this course. And while they're on it, the boat, it's, you know, a lot of details, but the boat is shipwrecked, and the captain is thrown overboard, and they get abandoned, and that, whatever, and they all end up washed up on this island, where now they have to try to survive. So the good thing is that the island does have a lot of fruits for them, and there's fish, and all these things, right? So they eat a lot of coconuts, and things like that, and eventually they find that there's smugglers on the island also, and there's a lot of dirty stuff going on, etc., etc., and that's just the basics of the books. Now, for our ratings, we gave it violence has a 2, and then language is a 0, and romance is a 0. So you might think like, wow, 2 zeros, that's great, but why does violence have a 2? And Emily's going to explain that to us.
I am. I do want to say, though, it was so exciting that romance is a 0, because there are boys and girls in the books, and it's so hard to read books that are about children over the age of like 9. Where the boys and at least one boy and girl don't end up with some sort of little, at least like a crush or something, but it's about survival. And I guess when you're trying to survive as young people and you don't know how to eat, and that's true, because there are a lot of young adult, as Elt is shaking her head at me, because there are a lot of young adult books, as you probably know, where people have to survive literally the apocalypse but still somehow find time for romance.
Or like a love triangle in the middle of the apocalypse. It's like there's zombies coming in, there's a love triangle going on.
Yeah,
like,
even less
get a
time
grip, people. Yeah. Yeah.
But this one, there's no romance, and also the language again is totally fine, which I think is part of the reason why this one, I think it is also middle grade, but it just feels, the themes of it and the way it's written just feel more middle grade than young adult, even though the characters, some of them are young, you know, 13, 14, so could technically be young adult. Violence is a 2, because while they're on, first of all, there's a shipwreck, and that's scary, and someone gets thrown overboard, and so there's some stuff that's a little bit violent and scary, and also, they come across some people on the island, and a couple of people are shot. It's not really the main thrust of the story, and you don't really see, but it happens, and it's a little scary, so violence is at about a 2, and when the kids gets himself kidnapped, so it's sort of elective kidnapping, but nonetheless he is still held prisoner. So there's some violence, and it could be a little bit scary for a certain age. But also, I find this book, when I read it, however many years ago that was, so exciting. Like, they're surviving the shipwreck in a way that's very doable. Like, they haven't created this whole society, you know, and they're not, like, teaching the animals on the island how to dance or whatever. Like, they happen to have saved a rain hat from the ship, so they have something to collect water, and it's sort of very real survival skills. I don't know if any of the skills are real. They're all supposedly from National Geographic, but they could totally just be from the author's head.
Yeah, and the kid who watches all the National Geographic, that was also a very convenient little plot thing, and it's, how does he remember all that? People could watch, I don't remember anything after, well, not anything, but I don't know how he remembered all that information. I mean, he's like the 11-year-old, like, scrawny little kid. He must be a real, must have been watching the reruns also, and that's a lot of TV.
That's a lot of TV. Well, that's why he was there, for watching too much TV, which is funny looking at it from 2020, because if watching too much TV would put a kid on this charting a new course session, every kid today would be on there because everyone's attached to their phones and TVs, but that's a rant for another day, I'm sure. Anyway, so I found it very exciting when I was reading these books, and I think it's sort of educational, not in a very strictly didactic way, but in a, I think it makes a kid who's reading at a certain age think, like, oh, what would I do in this situation? But it's not quite as scary, zombies are attacking me, what would I do in this situation? But, oh, how can I identify what fruit is good to eat? Or, oh, why can't I drink salt water when I'm thirsty? And then you learn, oh, well, salt water will dehydrate you. So I always found it very, exciting when I was younger reading it, trying to...
Well, it's definitely a big adventure. And even, like, adding in the smugglers, we're like, oh, this also has to be there. But it does, because it's three books. Like, what are you supposed to do after the second book? And they're just going to be on the beach all day? Like, there has to be something else to add to the tension and to the drama of it all. Something outside has to happen, and not just another rainstorm that washes everything away. Now, the one thing I had with this, though, is that there's a lot of big ideas that are simplified, and I don't know if that's for the good or the not good. So you have, like, the TV stars, the movie star's son, mm-hmm. who thinks that everything is just a setup and there's hidden cameras everywhere. So he obviously has some issues in his life till he finally breaks and whatever. So you have these, like, big ideas that this kid is a self-centered brat, he endangers other people and all this stuff, and it's the way that it's written is very simplified. So on the one hand, you are introducing, like, also the siblings who, like, almost kill each other. They give each other concussions because that's how badly they fight. Like, that's a bit much. So on the one hand, you have that. But if it would be, like, YA, you'd see more of it. And it would be more detailed and be a little bit harsher. So you're like, I don't know. If it's for middle grade, it's okay if we just introduce this without too much detail. But if I would have to write it for older, I'd do more detail. And I'd see these kids are really messed up. Yeah. So
I don't know.
That there was that in it. So I don't know if that is for the good or not good of the book. That was just something that I was just... Sometimes it's kind of like, I don't know about this. I don't know about this part.
I think it allows someone of a young, you know, middle grade age, so they're, what, between the ages of 9 and 12 or 9 and 13, and these are, like, the there's not really a main character, but there kind of is a main character, and he's on this journey because a gun was found in his locker, and he was sentenced by the court. I think it introduces you to the idea of what makes someone good, what makes someone bad, and how you can look that people have multi-dimensions, but it's not, I mean, if you really got into the psyche of a 14-year-old son of a movie star who thinks the world revolves around him, might be a little bit much at the age of 10 to digest, but just to start thinking, oh, wow, there are different people in the world, and people have different experiences, and one of the girls who's there, it's because she's an overachiever, right? Like, she's amazing, right. And her father wants her to chill out a little bit, so thinking, oh, even you would never, most kids probably wouldn't think that overachieving could be a bad thing, but how you can lose yourself and your mental health and your physical health by, you know, not taking any time to just breathe. So I think it, I don't know, I guess for a young age, it seems like it talks about it just enough.
Okay. I guess it all depends on what you like, but this definitely right. It's definitely a big adventure.
Yes.
That's for sure. And there's a lot about the boat. The way he introduces certain boat terms is also great. Like, he banged his head against the wall. It's like, no, it's not called a wall, right? It's called the bull, whatever it is. I don't remember. And I just read them. But that was very clever. That was very well
bulkhead.
Done to introduce new bulkhead, right. So introducing new things without just being like, this is called that.
Yeah. And yeah. I still, in my head, there's one, he describes how the captain, even though he's almost too big for the ship's doorways, how he goes in them so fluidly and dancer-like. And I sometimes think of that when I go through doorways myself, just because I've read the book so many times, I think, oh yeah, you do develop a certain grace when you're used to doing certain things that other people would look clunky doing.
Yeah. So I guess maybe this book is, this series is a good springboard series into more serious kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You still get the big adventure there, and then you're starting to just touch on, like, bigger topics and things like that.
Right.
Running from your past, and, you know, can we change ourselves? All that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Can we work as a team?
Yeah. And I...
Yeah, I'm glad, yeah.
We might have to talk about them at some other point. So he's written a bunch of books, but he has three trilogies that are along the same line that focus on one big adventure. And they're all... Well, I think two are really good, and then the third one's, like, okay-ish. But I just think they're, like, like a Swiss Family Robinson. But I don't know if people read Swiss Family Robinson anymore. It's kind of old-fashioned. Maybe the wording's a little bit hard to get through. So this is modern, and, well, modern-ish, right? 2001. But, you know, right. Pretty much. And the kids are maybe easier to relate to for young readers. But it's just an adventure book. And I like that. It's fun.
Okay, well, that's good. As long as we keep our adventures to this and not to weird recipes with canned goods.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. It's just, I don't know what to say. It was just a bad idea, and I'm just still kind of reeling from it. I think there might have been, like, botulism or something in those cans because my tummy's hurting, but also I feel a little like, whew, you know what I mean? So...
I think I'm going to have to gear up and go restock the kitchen. I think that's what has to happen next.
Oh, that's a good idea. Can you get some spray cheese, please?
Did you learn nothing? Have you learned nothing?
No.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next time. I'm going to go restock our resources.
Don't forget the cheese whiz.
Oh, okay. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Oh My Word. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to subscribe and write a review. And please share the show with your friends. If you didn't like it, you can share the show with your enemies. Please also follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast. There we post episode updates, our ratings for each book, and also our personal reading recommendations. Music for the show is by Tim Burke. Editor is Gabriel Yaffe. We'll see you next week.